The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Today, this month is a very special month because we have a very special holiday in it, and it is Thanksgiving. I know all of you enjoy Thanksgiving. So, we have a couple stories today for you about Thanksgiving. The first book today is called Thankful Thanksgiving, and it's about a mouse family, but it could be for any of us. So here we go. Thankful Thanksgiving by Deb Adenson. I am grateful for my family and friends as we gather Thanksgiving Day. Hooray for our time together and for those who've come to play. And here come all the visitors into their house, bringing all sorts of treats with them and toys to play with and even some presents. May our house be filled with laughter for folks who come from far and near to share this day of thankfulness we look forward to each year. And there, I think the grandma and grandpa have come, and an uncle and an aunt, and a little girl cousin, and a little boy cousin, and all sorts of fun friends and neighbors. I'm grateful for the music we share before the fire, for parades and football games, and for the silly grown-ups I admire. I'm thankful for those in the kitchen creating the meal we will share, like apple chews and pumpkin stews and nut ties baked with care. They're the grandma and the aunts and the mom. They're all fixing good things in the kitchen. I am grateful for our table dressed in orange and red and gold and the extra chairs we add today for our loved ones, young and old. Bringing in extra chairs and a little high chair for the baby and a little stool for the littlest kids to sit on. And whether we gather round it as we bow our heads to pray, may we each share a thought from our thankful hearts for our blessings every day. And when our bellies are filled to the top, we dress to romp outside. I'm thankful for the fun and the games and for an uncle's piggyback ride. Everyone's enjoying the outside air, playing around, tossing a football, getting piggyback rides from uncles and other grown-ups. And when this holiday is over, when family and friends go away, I'm thankful for the memories that we made on this Thanksgiving Day. And do you feel like that, too, after Thanksgiving Day? Do you feel so happy to have seen family and friends and have played games and just been together having fun? And, of course, there was a wonderful Thanksgiving meal, too, wasn't there? Now, this second story about Thanksgiving comes from a book called The Thanksgiving Book for Kids, and it's by a man named Bernard Tate. This first story is The Turkey Who Came for Dinner. It was the day before Thanksgiving, and 6-year-old Tommy couldn't wait. The whole house smelled of pies, and the fridge was packed with all the good stuff that only came out for special occasions. Tommy's mom was busy in the kitchen, while his older sister Emma helped set the table. Dad was outside raking leaves, making sure the yard looked just right for the big day. Tommy was in the living room playing with his toy cars, when there was a knock at the door. Who could that be, he wondered. They weren't expecting any visitors. Tommy ran to the door and swung it open, expecting a neighbor or maybe a delivery person. But to his surprise, standing on the doorstep was a big, plump turkey. The turkey wore a red bow tie and a pair of tiny round glasses perched on his beak. He looked up at Tommy and said, "Hello there, young man. I'm Terry the Turkey. I've heard so much about Thanksgiving, and I'm curious to see what's served for the big feast. May I join you?" Tommy's eyes widened. "Mom! Emma! Come quick!" he shouted. Emma came rushing over, her eyes growing as big as saucers when she saw Terry. Is that a talking turkey? Mom wiped her hands on her apron as she hurried to the door. What in the world, she began. But before she could say anything more, Terry the turkey waddled right into the house. Well, don't just stand there gobbling, Turkey said with a chuckle. Where should I put my things? He fluffed his feathers as if he were ready to move in. Tommy giggled, and Emma's serious face broke into a smile. Mom looked confused, but decided to play along. Well, Terry, you can hang your coat on that hook over there, she said, pointing to the wall, even though Terry wasn't wearing a coat. Splendid, said Terry, pretending to hang up an imaginary coat. And then he turned to Tommy. I'm so excited to see what's on the menu. I've never been to a Thanksgiving dinner before, but I've heard it's a big deal. A big deal. Tommy's smile faltered slightly. He exchanged a glance with Emma, who looked equally concerned. Mom quickly motioned for the kids to follow her into the kitchen, leaving Terry to admire the decorations in the living room. Once they were out of Terry's hearing, Emma whispered, "Does he not know that turkeys are usually, well, the main course?" Mom shook her head. "It doesn't seem like he does. We can't let him find out. We just have to change the menu." What will we make instead?" Tommy asked, his voice tinged with worry. Mom thought for a moment and then smiled. "Don't worry, I've got an idea. We'll make something special, something that Terry will love." They quickly got to work, whipping up a new menu in secret. Instead of the traditional turkey, Mom prepared a stuffed butternut squash with cranberry glaze, along with roasted vegetables and a big pot of creamy mashed potatoes. Emma made a salad with colorful fruits and nuts, while Tommy helped by stirring the stuffing, which they tucked into bell peppers instead of into the usual turkey. Meanwhile, Terry wandered into the kitchen, eager to help. "Anything I can do to lend a wing?" he asked, puffing out his chest proudly. "Sure," Mom said, trying not to laugh. "Could you help Emma with the napkins?" Terry grabbed a stack of napkins with his wings, but as he tried to fold them, they kept slipping out of his feathers. "Well, I guess you could say I'm better at flapping than folding," Terry joked, finally managing to make a decent-looking fold after several tries. Tommy and Emma giggled as Terry continued to help, or at least tried to. When he attempted to toss the salad, he was a bit too enthusiastic, and a few nuts bounced out of the bowl and scattered around the table. "I didn't mean to go nuts with the salad," Terry exclaimed, trying to catch the runaway nuts with his wings. Just then, Dad walked in from the backyard, brushing off a few stray leaves. He stopped in his tracks when he saw Terry in the kitchen, wearing an apron and trying to juggle a wooden spoon. "Who's this?" he asked, blinking in surprise. "This is Terry the turkey," Tommy said, stifling a laugh. "He's joining us for Thanksgiving." Dad chuckled and shook his head. "Well, it's going to be an interesting holiday for sure," he said. Let's see. Let me get this page turned. Finally, it was time to eat. The family gathered round the table, with Terry sitting proudly between Tommy and Emma. Mom brought out the dishes one by one, placing them in the center of the table. Terry looked at the spread with wide eyes. "Oh, my, this all looks so amazing. What is it?" "Well," Mom began, choosing her words carefully, "we decided to do something a little different this year. We have stuffed butternut squash, roasted vegetables, and stuffed bell peppers." Terry beamed. "That sounds delightful. I've never had anything like it before." He picked up a fork and took a bite, his eyes lighting up in delight. "This is the best Thanksgiving turkey, this is the best Thanksgiving feast ever. I'm stuffed." And that's saying something for a turkey, he added with a wink. Tommy and Emma exchanged relieved smiles. They'd managed to keep the secret, and Terry was having the time of his life. After dinner, Terry stood up and cleared his throat. "Well, my friends, it's been a delightful day, but it's time for me to go." Tommy's face fell. "Do you have to leave, Terry?" Terry nodded. "I'm afraid so, Tommy. You see, I have many more homes to visit before Thanksgiving Day, but I'll always remember this wonderful meal that we shared." Emma, who had grown quite fond of the turkey, asked, "Will we ever see you again?" Terry smiled. "Who knows? Maybe next Thanksgiving Day I'll pop in for dessert. But for now, I must be off." And with that, Terry the turkey put on his imaginary coat, tipped his invisible hat, and with a final wave of his wing, he waddled out the door. Tommy watched as Terry disappeared into the night, feeling a little sad, but also grateful. "You know," Tommy said, turning to his family, "this was the best Thanksgiving ever." Mom nodded, pulling Tommy into a hug. "It was special, wasn't it? And I think we learned something important today." Dad, smiling, added, "It's not what's on the table that makes Thanksgiving special, but who's around it." As they sat together, enjoying the warmth of the evening, Tommy knew they would never forget the Thanksgiving when a goofy, pun-loving turkey came to dinner and reminded them all about the true spirit of the holiday. And one more story about Thanksgiving. It's called Grandpa's Magic Gravy Boat. It was Thanksgiving Day, and 8-year-old Lily was bursting with excitement. The house was filled with the warm, delicious smells of roasting turkey, baking pies, and all the other wonderful foods that made Thanksgiving special. But what Lily loved the most about Thanksgiving wasn't just the food. It was spending time with her family, especially with her Grandpa Joe. Grandpa Joe was always full of stories, and he had a way of making everything seem magical. This year, he'd promised to tell Lily something very special, but he hadn't said what it was yet. As the morning went on, the whole family bustled around the house. Mom was in the kitchen, carefully arranging the ingredients for stuffing, while Dad was outside, making sure the yard was tidy for when Aunt Sarah arrived. Aunt Sarah was Mom's younger sister, and although they loved each other, they didn't always see eye to eye, especially when it came to Thanksgiving. "Are you sure you want to add that much sage, honey?" Grandpa asked with a smile as he peeked over Mom's shoulder in the kitchen. "Yes, Dad, I'm sure," Mama replied, rolling her eyes but smiling. "Sarah always says I don't use enough seasoning." "Well, she does like things a little extra," Grandpa chuckled, winking at Lily, who giggled. Just then, Aunt Sarah burst through the front door, carrying a tray of her famous sweet potato casserole. "Happy Thanksgiving, everyone," she called out cheerfully. "Happy Thanksgiving, Aunt Sarah," Lily shouted back, running to greet her. "Lily, darling, look at you, getting taller every year," Aunt Sarah said, giving Lily a big hug. Mom walked into the living room, wiping her hands on her apron. "Sarah, that casserole looks wonderful. I was just finishing up the stuffing." Aunt Sarah smiled, but there was a hint of competition in her eyes. "Oh, you know me. I always like to add a little extra brown sugar on top. It makes that perfect caramelized crust." Mom nodded politely, but Lily knew she was trying not to roll her eyes again. The two sisters often had different ideas about how things should be done, especially when it came to cooking. But Lily didn't mind. She loved both her mom's simple classic dishes and her aunt's more adventurous ones. As the day went on, everyone worked together to get the dinner ready. Grandpa Joe took his usual spot at the head of the table, polishing his favorite gravy boat. It was a beautiful, old-fashioned piece with intricate designs etched into the sides. Grandpa always said it had been in the family for generations, and he treated it like it was the most important thing in the world. "Grandpa, why do you like that gravy boat so much?" Lily asked, watching him carefully buff the surface with a dry cloth. Grandpa Joe looked around to make sure no one else was listening, then leaned in close to Lily. "This isn't just any gravy boat, my dear," he whispered with a twinkle in his eye. "It's magic." "Magic?" Lily's eyes widened in surprise. "What kind of magic?" "Well, why don't you keep an eye on it during dinner, and you'll see," Grandpa said mysteriously, giving her a wink. Lily was curious, but before she could ask more, Mom and Aunt Sarah called everyone to the table. The feast was ready. As everyone sat down, Grandpa Joe placed the gravy boat in the center of the table. "Now, who wants to pour the gravy?" he asked. Lily's dad reached out for it first. "I'll do it," he said, smiling as he picked up the boat and started pouring gravy over his mashed potatoes. "This is going to be," but before he could finish his sentence, he suddenly blurted out, "The only thing I can cook without burning is toast." Everyone froze for a moment, then burst out laughing. Dad looked surprised and a little embarrassed. "I didn't mean to say that," he exclaimed, his face turning red. Lily's mom looked at him with a mixture of amusement and concern. "Well, at least you're honest, dear," she said, stifling a laugh. Aunt Sarah reached for the gravy next. "Let me have a turn," she said, still chuckling. As she poured the gravy over her stuffing, she suddenly said, "I think my sweet potato casserole is better than yours, but I'll never admit it out loud." And she suddenly clapped a hand over her mouth, her eyes wide with shock. Mom gasped, then burst into laughter along with everyone else. "Oh, really, Sarah? And here, I thought you liked my stuffing more than yours," she teased. Lily could not believe what she was hearing. Everyone is blurting out their thoughts without meaning to. She looked over at Grandpa Joe, who was watching the scene unfold with a knowing smile. He caught her eye and nodded towards the gravy boat. Lily understood now. This was the magic Grandpa had told her about. The gravy boat was making everyone tell the truth, whether they wanted to or not. As the meal went on, more funny truths came out. Mom, who was usually so calm and composed, admitted she secretly enjoyed when Aunt Sarah got flustered over small things. Aunt Sarah confessed that she sometimes tried too hard to impress everyone, especially her older sister. Even Lily found herself blurting out that she had once sneaked an extra piece of pie when no one was looking, which made everyone laugh. But something wonderful happened as the truth spilled out. Instead of getting upset, everyone started to relax and laugh together. The little things that had seemed so important before, like who made the best dish or whose way of doing things was right, didn't seem to matter anymore. They were just happy to be together, sharing a meal and enjoying each other's company. As they finished dessert, Grandpa Joe leaned over to Lily and whispered, "See, the magic isn't just in making people tell the truth. It's in helping them see what really matters." Lily smiled and nodded. She understood now. The magic gravy boat wasn't just about a funny confession. It was about bringing her family closer together. After dinner, as everyone was getting ready to leave the table, Grandpa Joe called Lily over. "Lily, I have one more thing to tell you," he said quietly. "What is it, Grandpa?" Lily asked, her curiosity piqued. "One day, this gravy boat will be yours," Grandpa said with a smile. "And when it is, you'll know how to use its magic power to keep our family close, just like it did today." Lily's eyes sparkled with excitement and pride. "I won't let you down, Grandpa," she promised. Grandpa Joe winked. "I know you won't, my dear. Now, how about we get some more pie before your dad eats it all?" Lily laughed and followed her grandpa back to the table, feeling happier than ever. She knew that no matter what happened in the future, she'd always have the magic of her grandpa's gravy boat to keep her family laughing and loving each other. This book is called I Will Love You, and it's by Alyssa Satin Cappuccilli. It's about a mom who's telling her young child that she will always, always be there for her. So here we go. In the very first moment when you came to be, I looked at you and you looked at me. The sun shined hello and the moon winked too, and the clouds bounced by, just filled with dreams, just for you. Then, nuzzled in a blanket of stars from the sky, with the twinkling lights singing a sweet lullaby, I whispered these words as I held you near. For all time, for all space, for all the world to hear, I will love you. I will love you as sure as the breeze loves flowers. As long as smooth stones talk of hours and hours. As you're soothed by the hush of a butterfly's wings, or tricked by the rainbow a silky rain brings, or tickled by the rainbow a silky rain brings. What a beautiful rainbow in this picture here. I will love you like the velvet green hill loves its trees, like warm misty shadows calling, nestle with me. With dandelion's wish that soars to the sky, with each seed that blossoms over low, over high, I will love you. When the sea asks why, when you ask the sands when you wonder and wander far and wide over again, when the world shares its smiles and sometimes its blue, when the gift of just being snuggles wraps snugly round you, I will love you. And if you should call out, I'll be back, I am here, I will be with you always wherever I am. I will love you. When the lark wakes the butter yellow dawn in its flight, when the fireflies dance, good night, good night, when you reach for the whisper of these words in your ear, for all time, for all space, forever, everywhere, I will love you. And that's the end. Isn't that a beautiful book about a mom and her small child telling her that always, always the mom will be with her no matter where the child goes in life. Now, we have a short story here called Not So Scary. Glob the monster longed to be big and scary, but he had never frightened anyone. He had never even made anyone jump. I'm just too nice, he thought to himself. Monsters aren't supposed to be friendly. One day at monster school, Glob saw a purple monster with yellow spots called Merkel. Glob jumped out from all the way behind a wall to scare her. Roar! He was pleased to see that she was crying. Are you crying because I scared you? Asked Glob. Merkel shook her head. I'm crying because I have no one to share my sweets with. Oh, said Glob, disappointed. I've never tried sweets before. Merkel held out the bag with a big monster smile. Try one, she said. Together, Glob and Merkel munched up the whole bag. By the time they had finished the last one, they were best friends. They both decided never to scare anyone again. Sweets are delicious, said Glob. And I think being friendly is better than being scary. And this story is called The Monster Nursery School. Monster Nursery School is a lot like normal nursery school. There are teachers and toys and books. But, of course, not everything is the same. At Monster Nursery School, you have to be noisy. The teachers tell you off for walking as you're supposed to run everywhere. If you make a big mess when you eat, then you'd fit right in at Monster Nursery School. Every morning, the little monsters sing a special song. Naughty monsters just like me love to shout and sing. Let's all make a dreadful mess and jump on everything. Then they practice making rude noises and bouncing on cushions. In the afternoon, the little monsters do painting, just like you. But they don't paint on paper. They paint on each other. I'm afraid only little monsters are allowed to go to Monster Nursery School. So you will just have to read about it here. Unless, of course, you're a little monster too. Isn't that funny? Now, here are some cute little poems about going to bed and about Mommy and Daddy being with them. With you, I mean. Go to bed late, stay very small. Go to bed early and grow big and tall. Sleep, little child, go to sleep. Mother is here by your bed. Rest, little child, go to sleep. Rest on the pillow at your head. The world is silent and still. The moon shines bright on the hill, then creeps past the windowsill. Oh, go to sleep, go to sleep. This one is called Hush, Little Baby. Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Papa's going to buy you a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird don't sing, Papa's going to buy you a diamond ring. And if that diamond ring turns to brass, Papa's going to buy you a looking glass. And if that looking glass gets broke, Papa's going to buy you a billy goat. And if that billy goat don't pull, Papa's going to buy you a cart and mule. And if that cart and mule turn over, Papa's going to buy you a dog named Rover. And if that dog named Rover won't bark, Papa's going to buy you a horse and cart. And if that horse and cart fall down, you'll still be the sweetest little baby in town. And here's a little poem here that you all know, I know. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. Up Jack got, and home did trot, as fast as he could caper. He went to bed to mend his head with vinegar and brown paper. Isn't that a weird way to fix a sore head, with vinegar and brown paper? I can't imagine any mother doing that for a kid. Anyways, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.